Well, good evening and good morning, Thomas. Certainly is great, once again, to be back here and to study another portion of God's Word. Perhaps you've heard a phrase similar to this, but a lot of people say it today. I don't know how long it's been a saying, certainly probably longer than my age, perhaps as old as Leon, but it's called YOLO. You only live once. And a lot of people use that today to talk about how they're going to choose to live however they want to live. They're going to make the decisions that they want to make without any concern for what you think about that. Perhaps being a Christian and teaching them the truth, they don't care if it's a morally right decision. Go ahead and do whatever feels right. Certainly a lot of those statements go with that. And so tonight I want to look at that in light of the Scripture, but more importantly when talking about this life and talking about the test of life that we all go through and looking out, God helps us as Christians to overcome not only the trials and tribulations in this life, but even dealing with the good things that happen. Certainly things like putting God first in Matthew 6 and verse 33 and things like in Ecclesiastes 12, where Solomon there writes about the purpose of life is to fear God and keep His commandments. And so oftentimes when we look at life and we ask those major questions in life, we often sometimes focus on the negative side. And so what I would like to do is to look at a couple aspects of God that help us get through not only the trials in life, but ultimately those tests that we have from God. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 16 is where I want to begin tonight as we look at another example of the children of Israel and specifically Moses as they have now left Egypt on this particular account. This morning we looked at a couple different places where that was about to take place. But here we have God going to tell the children of Israel through Moses that He's going to provide for them. And in retrospect, it's something we can look at and see He's really testing them to see if they're going to live up to His standard. And so remember, they have a complaint about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink in that regard. And in these first few verses of chapter 16 of Exodus, the Bible tells us and Moses reveals to us that it's important to remember that what God was doing at this particular time was wanting to test His people. He's wanting to see if they're going to remain faithful to Him. Now, we need to keep in mind when we look at that word test in the Bible as it refers to the Hebrew and the Greek, that it is a similar term for the idea of being tempted. And so what we have to understand is when the Bible uses it, as it does, as such, when it's referring to God in a good sense, it's talking about Him testing us to see if we're going to live up to His standard. And negatively, it's used of Satan when he's trying to get us to do things that are bad. And so oftentimes, the only difference is in whether it's God or Satan, the one that's actually giving us what we might say the test or the temptation. But we know that God doesn't tempt us, and so we understand that God, when He's testing us, is not trying to get us to sin in any way, but trying to make us better people and to build our character. And therein lies that distinction. And this is one of these times that we find that. And so beginning there in verse 1, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is in between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. After that, they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full.'" Certainly something they were used to, being accustomed to being slaves, but even getting all the food that they could desire. And really, if we think about it, this is really a blessing from God as well. The fact that they were able to eat while they were there is, in fact, a blessing from God. "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And so certainly they're worried about what they're going to eat. One of those examples that we have where the children of Israel have certainly no trust in God and have lost a little bit of faith. And so here we see in verse 4, the Bible saying, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" And so when we think about the test of life, when we think about when this life is over, the purpose of life, the purpose of the created order, certainly we can look to an example of how we lived our lives. And ultimately what it comes down to is that God created this world and He created everything so that we would have that opportunity to choose how to live. And so we're talking about living for God or living for ourselves and sin. Now here he's talking about how he's going to put them to the test, the children of Israel, to make sure that they're living up to a standard. But that same thing can be said today. Go over to Deuteronomy 8, and beginning there in the first couple of verses, as Moses is repeating a similar statement to the generation that's going to be one that has wandered in the wilderness. One of the questions may have been asked by them, you know, why did we have to spend so much time out there? Well, the answer was given, remember, when they chose to sin against God and rebel against Him. And the reason that they were out there for 40 years is because God had forgiven them for rebelling against Him and not going into the land. They were actually forgiven, as you recall. But one of those consequences of their sin was they were going to dwell there. But notice what here Moses says about that period of time. And so you see that God was testing the children of Israel when they came up out of the land there. And then He's going to test His people once again as they're going to wander in the wilderness for those 40 years. And in verse 1 in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, Moses wrote, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." And notice what His purpose was. His purpose was to humble them, to humble you, and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And so you see, God's test really didn't change, and His test doesn't change today for us as Christians. And so when we're talking about that, it's important to keep in mind how God's stance of this in our life never really changes. And now we look at how He tested the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. He tested them as they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that whole time, the test is this: are you going to do what I say? You know, that same thing is said today. And I want to read one more passage that goes along that line as an example. And this one's over in the days of Judges, just to illustrate the point where God is unchanging. And when He's testing us, it's for the purpose of humbling us and getting us to do that which is right in His sight and not our own. And over again, we see this example throughout the Old Testament as our history lesson of the children of Israel. There in Judges chapter 3, and just the first few verses here, we learn this lesson once again about the people of God. "Now these are the nations which the Lord left that He might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan." Remember, they had gone to war for 7 years. Joshua had led them into the land to conquer the land, and certainly they did that, and they even enjoyed rest for a period of time. And even remember, God had commanded them that they were to wipe out everyone, but they refused to wipe out every nook and cranny of people, we might say. And with that, God chose to use that rebellion as a way to test the people in future generations. Are they going to remain faithful? And so you read there once again, this was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who were not formerly known it, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines. And so we have a list here of all the people that were actually left in the land. And the whole point was so that they would be tested once again, that would build them up as an army for God and for that generation to test them. And so here we have it again, test after test after test of God testing the people of God to give them to follow after His will. Now, with all that being said, we can look at God really from 3 perspectives in that regard of testing us in our lives. And the first one is really found in 2 different places. I want to look at an Old Testament passage and then a New Testament passage. The first one I want to look at is in Malachi, and of course that's the last prophet there in the minor prophets of our Old Testaments before that 400 years of silence. In Malachi chapter 3, 2 and 3, Malachi is that prophet. As we read from Nehemiah, that history there, Malachi actually prophesied during that time in Nehemiah. He was one of those prophets that was teaching them to repent. And we learn from Nehemiah that that's exactly what they did. They became penitent by the end of the book and turned away from the idols, turned away from their illegal marriages according to God's sight. All those things began to be happening by the end of Ezra and Nehemiah, but certainly he was one of those prophets that was teaching them to repent. And so it's during this time that we learn a really neat aspect of God, and it has to do with God being a smithy. The ancient practice of taking iron ingots, we might say, from if you know what that is, and smelting them down. And the process today is done through chemicals, but it was called extractive metallurgy during this particular time, and it's where they actually burned it down. And we talk about how it purified the metal, it turned it into liquid, and it took out all those impurities. And so God is really the ultimate smithy in that regard. And we're going to read about this nature of Him in a couple different passages. The first is in Malachi chapter 3 and beginning in verse 2. As Malachi prophesied through God, saying, "But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears?" He's talking about the day of judgment. Not the judgment day, the last judgment day, but really referring to the judgment that's going to come upon Israel if they refuse to come back to God. And so in the Old Testament, oftentimes that's how the language is used. Not necessarily the last judgment day, but rather judgment from God. And who can stand against that? Think about when the Babylonians took them captive in Daniel. You know, they weren't able to stand because it was according to God's will. And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purify of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering that is righteous. Now here we have a couple different examples here of teaching us that God helps us to build that character of not only the negative persecution and trials, but even when we make the right decisions, two things that help build our character is, one, you have God who's actually purifying us. He's making us a holy people through this process. And so sometimes we may not have the answer, and the Bible doesn't always give us the answer for each and every test that we go through, but we do know that it helps purify us. It helps build our character up. But also we have there the idea of what I would think about today as a dishwasher or a washer and dryer. When we throw the clothes in there, what happens is that it's being cleaned as we put soap in there, right? And it's cleaning it for us so that it comes out clean and we can wear our clothes again. And so certainly there are a couple of illustrations there that Malachi talks about from God's perspective, what He's doing for us when we live according to His will and His standard. The second verse that we find is in the New Testament, and that's over in 1 Peter, a very familiar text here. In the beginning verses of chapter 1 of 1 Peter, as he's writing those Jewish Christians primarily, but certainly all Christians today, and he begins to talk about that same test, and he puts it within one of my favorite statements in the New Testament as regard to our test and trial of life, there in verse 7, but there's a whole section here that really ties well together. So I want to back up and read verse 6 down to verse 10 because it ties well together for what we're talking about as a Christian today. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, there it is, that statement that's wonderful for us, that genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, tied back to the God being a smithy, being one that wants to purify us and make us whole, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise. And notice the point, and this tells us again, it fills us in with what he said back then. And in the Old Testament we learned, a lot of times the test was to humble them and get them to do what God had revealed to them. And here he does the same thing. It's building our character. May we be found to praise, and so it's going to help us praise God. It's going to help us honor God. It's going to help us give glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's for a good purpose, isn't it? The reason we're going through all this, it's so that we can get to heaven to be with God. And notice there, he finishes up in verse 7 there, particularly by talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why are you going through this test of life? Why are you choosing to serve God? And it's because you want to be made found to be purified and to be able to praise, honor, and glorify God. But that's not it. He continues in this particular section. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why are you going through the test of life? Why do you have this opportunity to live as God has commanded and said? So that we can enjoy the outcome of our life. That is, it's inexpressible there, as he says, that we can't even see Jesus now, but we can see Him through the Scriptures. And then verse 9, he says, ultimately receiving the end of your faith, that precious faith that's been purified, it's like the laundry that's been thrown into the washer and dryer, and it's been cleaned so that we can wear it again. And it ultimately, our faith is like that so that we can have the salvation of our soul, so that our soul can be delivered from this life and be brought to God in heaven. And so certainly there's an aspect that helps us build that character here to deal with the things in this life, that God is that smithy and He's helping us in this life to build that character. The second way that we can look at God is really from God being a physician. And so we're talking about being a doctor. And there are certain times when certain procedures are done that perhaps are not best for our body, but are done to help us with an outcome. Now, for example, as I read this, for a cardiologist, when we think about how they go into to work on the heart, oftentimes they have to open up the rib cage. And could you imagine for just a moment if they had to do that and you didn't have any pain relief? Imagine if you had to do that sitting there on the operating table and you had to feel all the pain from your rib cage being opened. Imagine the pain that would be caused from that. And yet, even if we had to go through that, the whole point was the cardiologist is trying to get in there to operate on your heart so that it is actually better for you. And so we need to look at God as kind of being that, in that light as a physician. Sometimes we have to go through chastisement. Sometimes we have to go through things that are out of our control that is necessary for our Christian character. And at the end of the day, that's how the Bible answers that question on a lot of things. Why is this happening to me? And it's to help us build Christian character. We can either accept it and grow as a Christian, or we can choose to run away from it and not live as a Christian any longer. That's really the outcome. How are we going to react to the situation that's presented with us in this life? Job would have this to say in chapter 15 and verse 17 and 18, not Job specifically, but as Job is dealing with his particular trial in life, his friend Eliphaz is going to say that he sinned against God in Job chapter 4. And then in chapter 5, a couple of the verses we're going to read, Eliphaz begins to say that it's really the chastisement of the Lord, the reason that Job is dealing with the loss of his family and with the things that are happening, of course, being tempted by Satan in this regard and not tested by God. But notice verse 17 and 18 of chapter 5. He says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole." Notice there the description of God, the idea of wounding us or hurting us. We think from our perspective it's hurting us, and of course it's not. But God's just trying to help us, and that's what a physician sometimes does. And so sometimes we need to look at God as being that physician. As we answer that question of going through life and going through the test, why am I going through the test? Because God is a physician. He's building us up and making us be the person that we ought to be. The answer to that question of when we're faced with a circumstance and we have the opportunity to either make a good choice and live righteously, or maybe to go into a deep depression, is answered by Paul in Romans chapter 5. And there, beginning in verse 3, Paul wrote, and not only that, but we also glory, we have rejoicing, we have a more permanent happiness in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, exactly, Amos, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us. Talking about how we're going to react to that, as we're building up to that hope that we have as a Christian. And so we can be found with joy. That is sometimes it's hard to explain to people why we have it. And sometimes we don't necessarily jump straight to joy when bad things happen. But certainly, as we think about God being for us and not against us, certainly it helps us be the person or the Christian that we ought to be. And then the third way that we can really look at God from the perspective of the test in life, and going back to all those examples in the children of Israel's history and looking at these different concepts, is the idea of God being that parent. And so certainly we know what it means to have parents, and to have parents punish us as good parents do. And so certainly there's that example that we find in the Bible as well. Proverbs 3 and verses 11 through 12. The Proverbs writer, Solomon, as most say as we talk about Proverbs today, said this, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the father and the son whom He delights." And so, of course, we know as parents and as children, being on both sides of that coin, when we were punished, we certainly may have not liked it, but it was for our benefit. It was to help us grow and to help us learn our lesson and to make better decisions later in life, whether we understood that at the time we were punished or not. The same thing is said in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, where the proverb writer says once again, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Certainly, as we look at perhaps the public school system and a lot of parents not raising their children the way they should in the Lord. Certainly we have a lot of a rebellious generation that thinks they control the house, and so certainly that's common, it seems, today. And it's, a lot of it has to do with the discipline, and so parents not disciplining. So you could see the direct tie here to a physical relationship and how God's trying to get us to understand upon that relationship that we know and say, I'm just like that. I'm that parent, and you're my child as a Christian. You're a child of God. And so I'm going to test you, and you're going to have to make it through that test. But it's okay because I'm here for you. Because at the end of the day, as I like to say when we talk about parents and punishment, why do you punish your children? It's because you hate them, right? And you don't want what's best for them. You want them to not get a job when they grow up. You want them to be a criminal in society? Obviously not. It's because you love them and you want what's best for them. And so certainly that's every parent. And that parent, if we think about it, is God. He wants the best for us. And certainly He's willing to be there for us even during those times where we feel it's just not the way life should be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, Paul then reminds us of the tests, the tribulations, the temptations that are all common. And I may have the wrong one. I want to make sure. Sometimes I write this one down as I'm writing and not actually check in instead. So I thought it was 2 Corinthians, but I'm right on this one, so. And here's a very familiar text, but when we're talking about being tempted by Satan and being able to overcome that, but even if we were to extend that word, which can be a word that means even trial and tribulation, notice what the Bible says here. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. And so when we think about Satan tempting us and certainly wanting us to sin against God and His will, we have God right there saying, I'm going to give you a way out. You have a way out. And so it's your choice if you're going to take that way that I've given you. And oftentimes when we think about it, we probably did have a way out and still decided to sin against God. And so God is right there with us to help us understand that we can choose to overcome whatever Satan's going to throw at us. And so you see that big picture here as we look at God as a parent, we look at God as a physician, and we look at God as being a smithy. All that is to say, in all these aspects, He's building our character as a Christian so that at the end of the day, as in 1 Peter 1 there, He says that we can wait until that revelation of Jesus Christ and we can have that salvation that God has promised to us. I want to close tonight with some words of Solomon there in Ecclesiastes. Not at the end, although certainly that would be the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear God and to obey His commandments. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, a couple of verses here talk about how to deal with the pain and suffering in life from our perspective. Begin reading with me, if you will, there in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. And so, what is he saying there? As people, we tend to learn more lessons when those bad things happen. Do we not tend to reflect more on life when we're at a funeral than as when we're at a wedding? And that's what he's saying there. In the times of happiness, we tend to not reflect on serious matters, but when serious things happen, we do tend to reflect on our life. And so we tend to learn more from life, and there is where wisdom's found. And so certainly as a Christian, as we've lived through the experience of life, certainly we understand that we can learn a lot from the death of a loved one, from the sickness of a loved one, and to be more sympathetic, empathetic, to be more loving and caring. We can learn all these lessons from all those times where we have that opportunity during those trying times. And so tonight, I do want to offer that invitation. As Christians tonight, we need to continue to dedicate our life to God and to remain faithful to Him, and that requires for us to admit that we are not perfect, that we do sin, but we can be faithful unto death and receive that crown of life if we're willing to come to God and confess our sins and practice righteousness. Certainly, that reward is there for us. If there's any need this evening, please come to the front when we stand and praise God together.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No.